Good morning and welcome to worship this morning with us. Just a few announcements before I hand over to Robert, who will lead us in worship this morning. This afternoon we'll have a reflection service for anybody that wants to attend. It's at 4 o'clock. There's some slips left at the back if anybody wants to lift a wee invitation. And it's open to anybody to come along who is interested. A couple of thank yous. Obviously, we had a great Christmas fair run by the Guild, and it raised over £1,800. And the Guild have kindly donated £2,000 to the church funds. So thank you very much to everybody who was involved in that. Thank you. And finally, you would maybe have seen the nativity. Well, you'll have seen it out in the garden and the picture of it up on the intimations. It was just to say a thank you to Campbell and Linda for their hard work and their donation to our church in their nativity scene for us. So thank you, Campbell and Linda. And a happy retirement. So the other thing is Laura Jane has kindly made up some calendars for us. So there's some at the back. If anybody's interested, you can lift one. They're free. She's drew this picture of the church and coloured it in. So they're really nice at the back, and they're free just to lift if you want one. If we run out, we'll get more printed, so that's no problem. And next Sunday will be our Nativity Sunday, so all welcome, and you'll be joining in. Okay, so it's something to look forward to. Thank you.
The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord as we sing together hymn 320, Joy to the World. And while we're singing this hymn, the Sunday School will bring forward their gifts, which will be received by June from the Salvation Army. So hymn 320.
I'm on the good list.
Would you like to light the Advent candles?
All right, if you want.
Yeah. And June will now light the Advent candles for us. Light a candle in a darkened place. In its flame see hope in every face. Christ the Saviour will be born, heralding a brand new dawn. So let it burn. In the darkness see the coming light. Word of God speaks through the darkest night. Keep a watch, the time is near. Time for hope and not for fear. So let it burn.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you this morning. We've managed to get in dry at least, although the forecast's not very good for the rest of the day. But we won't worry about that. And I wonder if everybody's ready for Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas, Jacob? Oh, have you got your letter away? No. Oh, well, you better hurry up, because there are not many nights left now, is there? Mm-hmm, there you are. Anybody else ready for Santa coming? Who's got the tree up? Look at that, yeah. Oh, dearie me. My living room's a mess, yeah. I can't get the tree up at all. I'm too busy. Is there a special gift you would like, Jacob, for your Christmas?
Just a yodel card and a new bike.
What's that all? Just the cars and a new bike? Oh, well, I'm sure Santa will manage that. A normal bike, a push bike. Well, that's good because you've got plenty.
A pedal bike.
Yeah, well, that's it. You pedal it. But it's called the push bike. That's it. Yeah, yeah. But that's it. That's us. We're just old-fashioned. Because that was my... I thought, I'll ask somebody what they're wanting for their Christmas and I'll not know what it is. Because at my age, you forget what the toys are. Is anybody getting anything exotic? Like a camel? No? Nobody getting a camel? Oh, well, that's all right then. Well, I got a very unusual gift. I got it from my cousin, and it was in a box, excuse me, and I had to keep it in the dark, and then he says you can lift the lid and see it. So I did that, I kept it in the dark, and I lifted the lid, and here was a beautiful, like a lifeboat. They bought me the lifeboat. It was a planter with three lovely hyacinths in it. Now, I didn't look at the gift properly, and sometimes we don't look at the gift right. I put it on the windowsill, I put a nice cover underneath so it wouldn't weigh anything, and it was a few days later when I went to water it, I turned it round, and here was written on the side of this little boat, charity, fortitude, hope, and there was an anchor. And I'd said to Jane, I don't know what I'm going to be saying this year. But then I thought, yes, I could speak about that. Because we say in the Bible, there's the faith, hope and charity. We've changed it to love. But charity is to love your fellow man and to help with money. Now today, you're helping boys and girls. Lots of people's giving them money. And so that will all help other people with that. Fortitude, now that's a big word. I had to tell you to get the dictionary out. And it said, patient in misfortune. Now, people, if you're needing a lifeboat, where are you? What's happened to you? You're in the sea and you're in trouble. And that's what it says, patient in misfortune. And if you watch Saving Lives at Sea, which we have done, they don't judge people. And sometimes we are very good at judging people, aren't we? We look at folk and we think, I don't know if I like them. But we have to be patient in trouble. Now, hope. Does anybody know what hope is? You should know, Jacob, because you're hoping for a bike. That's right. That's hope. It's having hope in a thing or a person. And we have our hope in Jesus, and that's why we have that. Now, does anybody know what an anchor looks like? It's a big thing. Uh-huh. It's a big metal thing with a hook, that's right. And it's to stop, Jacob?
It looks so much like the anchor looks so much like a fishing
That's right. It's like something you would use at the fishing. And as I say, it's to stop the boat from drifting. And you know, we need an anchor. And you know, it's in the Bible. And I ask our major, I says, now I know there's a verse in the Bible that's to do with the BBs, because that's their motto. And she told me, she sent me back, and it's in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, and it says, we have a hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And it's the same, we sing the song, don't we, where we have an anchor to keep us firm and safe. And so the anchor helps us when things would be difficult. We might have a bad day at school, and we might think, oh dear, how am I going to manage tomorrow? But we have that anchor in our lives, which is Jesus. And that helps us. Who's been busy at Christmas time? Who's put all the shopping done? Oh, put your hands up. Well, that's all good, because I know I haven't got mine done. Who's got all their cards done? Jim and I nearly had a fight. We'd get them all done, but we've got them done. That's it. And so this, at this time, we've all so much things to do, so many things to do, and we never manage to get everything done, but we try our best. And it tells us, I read a wee story the other day about Martin Luther, and he was a great reformist, and it says when he was really busy, now take this in, Martin Luther used to pray for 3 hours when he knew he was going to be busy. How many of us would think about that? Sometimes we don't have 3 minutes, but we have 3 hours. Mm-hmm.
I did pray for 3 hours.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's good then. I'm glad your mum would put the light out, because you would have used all that electricity praying to keep the light on. That's it. Now, you've been so good. There's a sweetie for you when you go through to there. But I'm going to teach you a new chorus today. And I'm glad the candle is joy. And we've got quite a lot of joy in the service. You'll see it's joy to the world. And we're going to sing that. And we're going to sing a wee chorus. It's to the tune of Jingle Bells. Does everybody know Jingle Bells?
Yes.
Well, this wee chorus is J-O-Y, which is joy, J-O-Y. Surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that's what Christmas is about. We think about Jesus coming, a precious gift. We've to stand back because we're given to others. So you think we can manage this wee chorus? Audrey's quite annoyed because I never asked her, and she's no good on music. But we can sing it as it is. I'm sure we all know Jingle Bells. So, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself, and others. There we go. There we go. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Oh, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Well, you know, we were at Rose Hall Manor yesterday, and they did better than that. There you are. And they had wee bells to jingle as well. So we're going to give it loudly this time, aren't we? We're going to give it all that we've got. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And if we can remember that for Christmas, that'll make such a difference to this world. Are we ready? J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Oh, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Well, thank you so much for all your gifts. Thank you so much, adults, for the monetary gifts you've given. And I pray that God will bless you, and that you'll have a peaceful and a happy Christmas this year. And I pray that you'll get your bite, Jacob. And all you girls will get lovely things too. Thank you so much. God bless you each one. Thank you.
And the kids will go off to the Sunday school, because I think they're working hard for next week, aren't they? Yeah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather joyfully because you are here, among us and in every heart. As we prepare ourselves to make room for the Spirit, we join with heaven and nature to sing our praises. Our joy is repeated throughout creation. Growing fields, rushing rivers and mighty hills all proclaim God's arrival. We freely exchange our sorrows for blessings which are for all creation. Let truth and grace ring through all the world, wondering at love which is for all people, all nations, and all life itself. Lord God, who made heaven and earth, we confess the ways we have taken your creation for granted, the land, the sea, and all that is in them. Our hope is in you, the Lord our God. Lord God, who seeks justice for the oppressed, we lament the times we have forgotten to feed the hungry, those who seek for food for both body and soul. Our hope is in you, the Lord our God. Lord God, you set the prisoners free. We repent the ways we have built up walls and excluded others, favouring our own comfort over our neighbours near and far. Our hope is in you, the Lord our God. Lord God, who lives up the lowly, forgive us for missing your invitations to heal and restore wholeness. Teach us again to love righteousness. Our hope is in you, the Lord our God. Lord God, who watches over the stranger, we confess the ways we have failed to uphold the orphan and the widow, all those who have been pushed to the margins, for whom you are the good news. Our hope is in you, the Lord our God. Our souls magnify you, God. Our spirits rejoice. You show your strength by favouring the lowly. Scatter those the world would call powerful. And fill us with the good things of life, reminding us that riches alone are empty. Our souls magnify you, God, and our spirits rejoice. Now we join our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. We continue our praise with Junior Praise 180, O, 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 How Good Is the Lord. Junior Praise 180. Now let us listen for the word of God.
The first reading today is Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. Joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will replace and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord. The splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The second reading is James chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Patience in suffering. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring's rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because of the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. The third reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 46b to 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors. Amen.
Thank you very much. We will continue worship with hymn 474, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Hymn 474. Let us pray. Lord, as we listen to your word read and preached, open our ears that we may hear your word anew. Open our hearts that we may respond to the promptings of your Spirit. May what we learn blossom within us so that we are transformed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was once a wee boy who had a problem with advent calendars. He liked opening the little boxes, and he loved getting the chocolate that was hidden behind them. But he wasn't very happy that he could only open one a day. He wanted to open them all at once and eat all the chocolate then and there. He didn't like to wait. In fact, it's an example of his general attitude to Christmas. He knew that on the 25th of December, Santa was going to bring him lots of presents, but didn't understand why Santa had to wait till the 25th. He wanted them then and there. He wasn't very good at waiting, and he wanted his presents. And I won't say his name in case he's watching on YouTube this morning. I suppose it's the same with most children at this time of the year. They find it hard to wait for their toys and games and selection boxes and all the other goodies that they hope are coming. Maybe even a bike, like the wee boy from the Sunday school. I well remember when I was young, exploring cupboards and under beds and places like that, trying to find what Santa was going to bring. And Christmas Eve, every minute seemed like an hour. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. As a rule, people aren't very good at waiting. The ability to wait is not one that comes easily in our modern world. There was a car advert a number of years ago that put it very succinctly. We want it all, and we want it now. We want fast food, fast cars, instant tea, immediate results, and everything at the touch of a button. We want success without delay in every area of life, be it sports, politics, cooking or cleaning. We want it all. We want it now. And we most definitely do not want to wait. Yet the Christmas season, and Advent in particular, is about waiting. And I don't mean in car parks looking for a space, at checkouts waiting to pay for our shopping, at cash machines waiting for our money to pop out, or in January waiting on our credit card statements. It's a spiritual wait as well. We're waiting. We're waiting to celebrate an event that took place some 2,000 years ago. But we're also waiting for the fulfillment of the promises that that event brought with it. Christ was born, and nothing would and nothing will ever be the same again. God acted. In the life that began in the stable in Bethlehem that first Christmas, God's plan was seen to be working. The powers of evil were defeated, the forces of sin overthrown, forgiveness offered, and the vision, the promise made of a new world. Very much like in Isaiah's prophecy, the promise of the kingdom of God. Yet although the promise was that nothing would be the same again after Jesus, in many ways, things have gone on pretty much the same as before and have continued on their not so merry way to this very day. Things were and are the same as they were. Man's inhumanity to man, as Robert Burns put it, continues apparently unabated. There's still war. There is still famine, there is still poverty, there is still oppression, and for many, life is still nasty, brutal, and short. But in that stable, the seeds of hope were planted, and like the child in Mary's womb, it grows and develops and matures until in the providence of God, at a time of God's choosing, it will burst into life, and the kingdom of God will come in all its splendor, in all its fullness, in all its glory. In the meantime, we wait in patient hope, like the people of Israel did all those many years ago. And as James exhorted the early Christians in the passage from his letter, we're exhorted to have patience, to follow Christ, and to trust in the promises of God. No matter the price, no matter the cost to us, And in this we have the example of Mary. Now, the Protestant churches tend to shy away from the subject of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yet, to other branches of the Christian faith, she is very special, perhaps too special. Nevertheless, Mary has a unique place in the story of our faith, a place that no one else has. She is the mother of Jesus' earthly incarnation. She was chosen by God to be the human mother of Jesus. And despite the shame that being an unmarried mother would bring in those days, she hardly hesitated in accepting God's will. She was not slow in saying yes. And it's an example to all of us, the way she responded to God's will, regardless of the trouble, regardless of the problems that it was likely to bring on her. In our passage from Luke, we are told of her response to her meeting with the angel. The angel had just appeared to her and told her, Luke tells us, that Mary accepted God's promised miracle. Mary accepted what the angel told her, in spite of what it would cost her. At first, she was deeply troubled, an understatement if ever there was one, deeply troubled by the angel's words. And when she was told that she was going to have a very special baby, she was perplexed. The angel spelled out to her what would happen and who the baby would be. And Mary accepted it. She had faith that the Lord's promises would be fulfilled, a faith that must have been severely tested in the years that lay ahead. And she was ready to face the consequences of that faith, the consequences of accepting God's will for her. Not long after the meeting with the angel and the angel's announcement to her, Mary left town to visit her relative Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and she shared her secret with Elizabeth. 3 months later, when she came back home, her condition must have been obvious, and tongues would have begun to wag, and gossip gone the rounds of her home village. Joseph was shocked and wanted to break off the engagement, but he wanted to do it quietly so as to avoid a fuss. But he too had a message from an angel in a dream, and he took Mary as his wife. Yet still, her reputation must have been damaged. It's interesting, perhaps significant, that years later, the people of Nazareth spoke of Jesus as the carpenter, the son of Mary, and not the son of Joseph, perhaps remembering some dubiety about Jesus' birth. And more than a century later, pagans were ready to repeat a scandalous story that Mary had had an affair with a Roman soldier. Mary would have known what people would have thought, of what they would have said about her and her child. Yet she put herself into God's hands and trusted God's promise and waited patiently on the consummation of that promise. Although she was passive in that it was God who brought forth the baby, yet she was not passive in her will. She joined her will to God's will, for God would not have used her if she had not been willing. She freely consented to being the method, the vessel that God used to bring the Saviour into the world. And in so doing, she consented to doing her part in helping bring about that salvation. This acceptance of God's will had to be repeated over and over again as she watched her son respond to his calling as the Messiah. It must have cost her much as she waited on God's promise coming true. Who knows what price she had to pay as she struggled to come to terms with who her son was. There was the episode in the temple where Mary and Joseph lost the 12-year-old Jesus, only to find him in a debate with the religious experts and surprising them with his precociousness. Then later at the wedding in Cana, just as Jesus was about to start his public ministry, they were at a wedding together. Mary pointed out to Jesus that there was no wine left. Jesus replied rather sternly that it was no concern of his and his time was not yet come. Later still, when Jesus had left home and was travelling about Galilee preaching his message, a message that was new and exciting and revolutionary, a message that Mary knew would get him into trouble with the authorities. She, along with the rest of the family, went to get him and bring him home, thinking that he was out of his mind. Jesus said to those around him, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" and answered the question with the words that whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. As well as being worried out of her mind about his safety, she must have been hurt by these sort of remarks, no matter how true they were. Waiting on God's word is never easy. It's not an easy matter. Mary found this out and she paid a price. Like any mother, she must have been worried about her son and the fate that awaited him. She learned the hard way to accept God's will. And when Jesus was crucified, she was there. Heartbroken, no doubt. But she was there. There to the bitter end. She had to face the agony involved in Jesus fulfilling his calling to be the saviour of the world. Yet through it all, she had hung on to the hope that God's word would be true and that hope and patience would have its reward. She shared in the blessings brought about by the fulfilment of God's promise. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his brother James, and after the ascension, Mary and Jesus' brothers are recorded as being among those who waited in prayer for God's promised blessing. And they all shared in the blessings of that first Pentecost. And for the rest of her life, she knew the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And more than this, like any mother, she must have treasured the memories of her son's birth and boyhood. Tradition informs us that she shared those memories with Luke, who included them in his gospel. Mary had the patience to wait on God with hope. She had surrendered herself to God and let God do work through her. If she had refused God, God would have found another way. But she didn't, and she played her part in God's work. There's much that we can learn from Mary. She's a model for us to follow and an example that we would do well to imitate. We should all be prepared to do our part in God's plan, to accept her responsibilities, no matter the consequences. And we should be ready to prepare us to surrender ourselves rather to God's will. And we should also have the patience to wait on God, to let God work things out at God's speed, no matter how bad things may seem in the meantime. Mary didn't want it all. She didn't want it now. She was ready to take whatever God gave her, no matter the pain, no matter the worry, no matter the humiliation. And she was prepared to wait on God, to wait on God's promises, the promises that came to life in her son and came to life in his time on earth. She had the patience to wait on God and hope strong enough to continue to believe in them, despite all the disappointments, all the troubles and difficulties that she faced during the wait. Can we do any less than wait on God with patience and with hope? Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and forevermore. We continue our worship with hymn 259, Beauty for Brokenness. Hymn 259. With joyful hearts, let us prepare to offer to God the fruits of our labour so that the work of the church can continue to transform our world. The offering will be uplifted. Let us pray. Generous and gracious God, we thank you for all that you have freely given us. With thankful hearts and joyful hearts, we bring you our offerings of time, of money and of talents. And we ask that you will use these gifts to your glory, transforming both us and our communities into places where your name is glorified and your kingdom values shape our common life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We bring our worship to a conclusion this morning with hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul. Hymn 286. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth and evermore.